Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I've got this little guy, well, he's not so little anymore. He's 21 years old, our oldest son. And when he was little, like 6, 7 years old, maybe 8 years old, I started a tradition with him that I still do today. He's going to school in Chicago. He's a senior in college. He's a big guy now. But just, I was with him, not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, and we're walking into our favorite restaurant in Chicago. You guys ever hear of Portillo's? Yeah, that's like church to our family. Anyway, this place is awesome. They have this big revolving door, and it's glass, but it's reflective, so you can see yourself in it. Well, when Robbie was a little guy, we'd be downtown Chicago, or we'd be in a mall or something like that. Anytime we'd see a mirror, anytime we'd see this big reflective glass, I would grab his little shoulders, and I would kneel behind him. And the first couple times, you know, he was kind of, you know, antsy. He didn't know what to think of it, but now it's become something for him and I. I'd kneel behind him, and I'd go, "Hey, man, do you know what I'd see? Do you know what I see?" And then I would stare at him, and he'd stare at himself in this reflective glass, and I would whisper things like this into his ears. I would say, "I see a little guy who's got a big heart. You know, I see an awesome smile. I see a guy who's the fastest 8-year-old I've ever seen," you know, and he would get all, you know, he'd kind of get all confident. I could feel it in his shoulders. I see a kid who can jump really high. He liked that when he was a little guy. I see a kid who takes care of his little brother, his little sister. You know, I'd squeeze his shoulders. And then I would say, "I see a kid who loves God and who knows that God loves him." And I'd hold on to his shoulders. He would light up. It was one of those things where he didn't mind. There's people walking. We're in a mall or somewhere, you know. Just like I said a couple weeks ago, he's 21 years old and I'm standing behind him looking into this glass. It felt so, so, so good to him. Let me ask you a question. What would God say if somehow he could stand you up in front of a mirror, stand you up in front of some, you know, like reflective glass, and just whisper his truth, kind of reflect his heart into you? If he could whisper in your ear, what would be the things that he would say? Now, I know for some of you, it's like a weird concept, especially if you're here for one of the first times. Is there communication like that? Does God want me to know certain things? He does. And again, I know it sounds weird, but he totally does. If he could stand you up behind a mirror, this is the kind of stuff he would say to you. Look at I'm blinding all these poor people. This is the kind of stuff he would say. He would say, "Listen, you belong to me. Like you're mine," he would say. He would talk to you about, there's a passage in the book of Ephesians that says, you're no longer distant, you know, entities. But when you come to know me, God would whisper this in your ear. He would say, "You're like my daughter. You're like my son. You're a member of my household, family." He would say, "You're loved. You're a person who is loved. You can't even grasp. You don't have the capacity to understand how deep my love is for you." God would say that to you. He would say, "I love you on the mountaintops when everything's going great, and I love you when there's pain. I love you when you think nobody else cares. I'm with you." He'd whisper that in your ear. Again, if you're new, I know it sounds weird, but it's the truth of how God relates to us. The bottom there, I don't know, maybe you can't see it because of the way that it's written, but it just says, "You're secure." The God of the universe would lean down into your ear and he would say, "Hey, you're safe with me." Bible says, Romans chapter 8, it says that there's nothing that can overtake me in your life. There's nothing that can get to you. That's how secure you are. God would say those things to you. Now, here's the million-dollar question. How do you get God to communicate that? How do you get into a spot where you can hear God's voice? How do you reflect how God feels about you? Well, there's five ways that God reveals himself to mankind. First way is through his word. It's through the Bible. You want to know about your identity? Check out a Bible. You want to know about your purpose, like why you're here, what you're really about, how this whole thing makes sense? Get a hold of a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, at Verve, we give away Bibles. It's a great version, really easy to read. You can just go to the Velcro bar. In fact, inside the Bible is a piece of paper that says, here's how you read this. Here's where to start. That's one way that God reveals himself. Another way is through prayer. Prayer is simply when you talk to God and that God talks back to you. You know, when we communicate with God, when you tell God, here's what's going on with me, here's how I feel, here's what I need, the Bible says that he will, in the margins of your life, he'll give you promptings. He'll tell you this direction, that direction. Now, God's never audibly spoken to me, but there's stories in the Bible where God audibly speaks to people. That's another way that he reveals himself. The third way is through nature. You ever thought of this? God shows his beauty. God shows how massive. God shows in the vast star-filled sky, God shows himself to us. In the power of the oceans, God shows himself. In the beauty of a sunset, right? So how many times have you been driving down the road and you see a sunset and you're tempted to pull over? Because you just want to get a picture. It's so crazy here in Las Vegas, those sunsets. That's God. That's communication from God. The fourth way is anytime God's word is opened up and there's teaching, like in this kind of an environment, God speaks. If you're in a Verve group, a small group, we'll be explaining that. Maybe you've heard a little bit about it already. God will speak in those kinds of environments. And then the fifth way is God speaks through people to us. God speaks through people. And he speaks through people, especially in spiritual friendships. It's a phrase maybe, again, if you're new, maybe you've never heard before. A spiritual friendship defined is any relationship that helps you know God in a deeper way. Spiritual friendship. Do you have any of these? Do you have any spiritual friendships? Because I know for a lot of you this is new. Those two words, spiritual and friendship, you're like, I don't know, what are you talking about? You know, maybe you're that new. Be open to this concept. Because one of the reasons that God says that we're better together is because there is influence that can happen in spiritual friendships. There's influence that can happen. It doesn't happen any other way. God revealing himself in any other way, there are certain things that only happen in the context of relationship. And so what I want to do in the time that remains is I'm going to give you a test. It's a three-part test. School's back in session, so let's do a little test. Now, this test, there's two reasons why. First reason I want to give you this test is because I want you to be able to discern how strong are you? Like in your relationships, again, if you've been around, like if you're a Christ follower already, or if you're somebody who you're just kicking the tires trying to figure out if this is worth it. Is this a trade up or a trade down? What is faith all about? How strong are your relationships? How strong are your friendships? Or how weak are they? You know, there'll be some convicting stuff. What that means is there'll be some stuff that we talk about where you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's true about me. Or, oh, that kind of hurts, you know. And I'm not doing that to put that in your face. I'm just saying, all right, let's take this test. Let's see where we stand. Second reason is because I want to prove. We're going to prove together today that we are truly better together. God is right when he says that we're better together. It's not a solo sport, this thing called faith. It's not a solo sport. You need these spiritual friendships. I need them. We need them together. First test. Do you have anybody in your world that sharpens you? Kind of a strange phrase. Does anybody sharpen you? Check that verse out, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, you know, steel against steel. you know, when you're sharpening a blade, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another friend. Do you have anybody in your life that sharpens your life, that helps you to focus on who God is and what God has to say about you? Do you have anybody in your life? Now, some of you, you don't. Again, I'm not saying this in your face, but the truth of the matter is, you need people in your life who understand the Bible. You need friendships in your life with people that can reflect God's word to you, help teach it to you, someone that you can follow, someone that will help you understand the messages, the kind of stuff that God would want to say to you. Do you have anybody that speaks God's truth into your life? You know, that's a huge deal. Such a super important thing. One of the things that I love to do, it's like a sick hobby, is I love washing my car. Anybody, well, I don't know, not very many people have this as a hobby. Most people like to have fun with their spare time, but not so much me. I'll get the music going in my garage, and I'll wash all of our vehicles, but my car is the one I really like to wash. And for whatever reason, the lady right directly across the street always comes home when I'm washing my car. That's it's like a joke. I chuckle to myself, oh, here she comes, right? We've lived in this in our neighborhood for 6 years, 6.5 years. I've not had a real conversation with this lady. I've said like maybe a sentence or two sentences to her. When she comes home, again, I'm washing my car, and the way I know that she's coming home is her garage door opens. Her garage door opens before I can see her car. It's amazing. She must have like the greatest. Anyway, so she'll come in. She's super nice. She'll wave at me, but then she'll go up her driveway. And as soon as she gets into her garage, the door is fully open. Then she hits the button and the garage door comes down. And I have watched this. I'll watch under the door because I'm a weirdo. I watch under the door, and like 4/5 of the way down, she gets out of her car. She has it timed perfectly so she doesn't have to talk to me. She's a very discerning person, obviously. But if you know me at all, it makes me nuts because I really want to talk to this lady. I want to have a conversation with her. I just want to know her name. I want to know, you know, what she's about. Maybe you were here last weekend. If you weren't, you should listen to the message online. Vince talked about part of the problem with being better together is you got to be better together with other people, and a lot of times those people are idiots. And so you don't want idiots in your life. This lady probably, obviously, she knows, okay, well, that guy's an idiot. He's always washing his car. I don't know, you know, what he's doing. So here's the deal. Listen. Some of us live that way. We time it out in our lives so that the garage door closes. We time out conversations so nobody can get any deeper than we want them to get. We have gotten so good, now not all of us, but I'm in this camp too, where we've gotten so good, some of us, that we know, we understand how to get in and out of conversations. We're skillful, especially as we get older, so we don't have to have any conversation that pushes us or that challenges us or that makes us go a little deeper than we want to go. Man, we have control, a lot of us, but that control is messing it up. It messes up our relationships. It keeps us at a point where there's no sharpening, there's no pushing, there's no challenging. Are you like that? Do you keep all the control in your hands when it comes to relationships? Do you never open yourself up to any kind of spiritual challenge or any person that might speak truth into your life? Listen, some of you have never had this experience. When you have a friend, I don't mean in your face. I don't mean somebody that frisbees a Bible so it jams down your throat. I don't mean that. But have you ever been in a place, have you ever had the experience where somebody talks to you in a gentle way and they're talking to you about how God feels about you? They're talking to you about God's, about a relationship with him and how you can get over a certain hurdle or how you can be challenged. And you get God's word through this person, that is an awesome thing. Spiritual friendships are super influential. So do you have any? Have you positioned your life so you have that kind of influence? Do you have anybody who sharpens you? Second test is this. Do you ever put on masks? Do you ever wear masks? Notice here's how this one works. A lot of times, you know those masks when we were Halloween, we were little kids with the rubber band on the back? You know, you grab the rubber band, you put the mask on. A lot of people live that way. A lot of people hide. They hide behind these different masks. And you guys, it's brutal when that happens. Because you don't have any relationships. You have very few where you're real, where you're genuine, where you're actually yourself. And as we get older, we get really good at these masks. Here's what happens. Again, I do this too. You get a shtick together. You get little bits. And so when you're in certain conversations, you put on that shtick or you do that bit. And it's this mask that you hide behind and it makes you really comfortable, but you're never really open. You're not authentic. And what happens when you're not authentic, what happens when you're not real, is God can't penetrate that. God has this thing about hype. He hates hype. He hates fake. He hates artificial. And so when we hide, we repel the opportunities for these kinds of messages, for God to actually move us and change us and challenge us. Do you ever hide? That's not how God designed it. That's not how God wants us to live. Look at Colossians chapter 2. I love, look at he said. The writer says, let your roots grow down deep into him. That's who you want to be. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. That's the idea. Don't let your life be built on fake. Don't let your life be built on this mask that you wear or these different masks that we wear. But instead, let your faith get strong in the truth that you're taught and then you'll learn to overflow. Your life will overflow with thanksgiving. Masks are exhausting, man. And for some of us, this is one of those things where you go, oh gosh, I would love to not have to always be in control. I would love to not have to always be like fake around certain people, but to just be not in a rush, really find out how people are doing, really tell someone how I'm doing. You know, and not just hide. I used to hang out with this little kid, first, second, and third grade. His name was Stacy Thomas. And this dude was hilarious. He was funniest little kid ever. Always in a good mood. And he would wear this funny guy mask so much that I was alarmed. It was third grade when I first saw him not in a good mood. We were at this, it was like a summer campy kind of a thing. And I remember we were doing this craft project thing. He was drawing on a piece of paper. And for whatever reason, we were kind of alone at this table. I will never forget this conversation. And I looked at him and I go, Stace, you all right? He just looked sad. And he goes, no, I'm not all right. And I don't know. It was something, maybe it was someone's family. I don't remember exactly what was going on. And I said, Stacy, I have never seen you, you know, not, I've never seen you down, you know? And he said, oh, I get sad. I just hide it so people like me. I will never forget that little dude saying that to me. That's third grade, man. Here's the truth. We get better at it as we get older. Some of these masks, you've been doing it for a long time. You've gotten really good at it. God says, I want to break through that. And the way that he'll break through it is when you take off the mask and you're open. You're not artificial. You're not, you know, you're genuine. Now I know for some of you, maybe especially some of the guys in here, you're like, what are we gonna like tell each other our hopes and dreams and, you know, are we gonna hug every 2 seconds? You know, is it gonna be that? No. I'm just saying no hype. Take off the mask. What if you had a real relationship with somebody who might be able to help you push towards God, to move towards God? Stop living this exhausting mask thing because it's not best for you. So how are you doing with that one? Do you ever hide like that? Do you have masks that impede your relational world? Third test is a simple one. It's, are you a people pleaser? This is the hardest one for me. Here's how it works. People pleasing is simply this. It's when you go through life and you have a boss, or if you're a student, you have a teacher or a coach, you have a neighbor, you have a friend, you have someone you're dating, and all you do all the way through is you go from one person to the next person, one person to the next person, trying to impress them, trying to please them. Your whole deal is like a treadmill, just trying to appease people, trying to get people to approve of you. Oh man, I'm an expert. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I was like this. And you just get tired of it. Look what Paul says. Paul says, obviously, look at the verse starts. Obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. That's not it, like emphatically. No, I'm trying to please God. You know, I want to be Christ's servant. See, the reason that spiritual friendships matter to a people pleaser is because when you're around people that are trying to be God, like God pleasers, when you're around those kind of people, it changes you. It inspires you. It does this for me. Like when I see somebody who's really trying to make a difference for God, who's really trying to be focused on what God has for them, the kind of life that they want to live. Again, if you're new, I know this is, it's out there. But as you become a more mature Christ follower, as you get more mature in your faith, you begin to realize that you need that inspiration, you need that encouragement, you need somebody who's going to help you along. Because you want to be a God pleaser. Let's stop being a people pleaser. It's an amazing reality. So how do you do with this one? Now, how are you with the people pleaser parts of you? Let's throw all those tests up there so these guys can see them. Which one of these is the hardest one for you? Is it the, go ahead, Krista, are you back there? Can you throw that test up there? There we go. Does anybody sharpen you? The masks, being a people pleaser. Which one of these, or which couple of these, are hard for you, really hard for you? Now, sometimes we get into seasons in our lives where there's a lot of pain. You know, and there might be stuff in a relationship. It might be pressure that you feel about your bills and finances. It might be something that's going on where you have a break in a relationship or a break that's really challenging you. When you're in those kinds of painful places, you tend to go high control. And when I do this too, when we go high control, the Bible says that our relationships get strangled. We tend to drift away from life-giving relationships. If you take these tests and maybe you're in a painful kind of a place, you might think, nope, I got to pull back. I don't want the relationships. I've got to only focus on myself. God would say to you now, he would say, listen, no, what you really need, the antidote, is to step into friendship, to find some people who can speak life into you, to find some people who will be iron sharpening iron with you and for you. If you ever get to a spot where you're wondering, how do I please God? Like, what does it even mean to please God? And you have those questions about your faith, like, or your lack of faith, how does it all work? You should come to Next Step. I mean, Next Step would be a perfect opportunity for you to answer some questions. You can come anytime. It happens at 11:30, so during this service on every Sunday. And what we do in a fun way, in an interactive way, in an informational way, is we talk about the basics of what it means to live for God. I see a bunch of you in the crowd who have already been to Next Step, but I know a lot of you haven't. It's just through those doors. The room right across the hallway is called the Next Step room. It's like 30 feet away. But 30 feet from where you're sitting is a long way to get you to walk over there. But you got to take that risk, because those are the ways. Now, you'll be in a group, okay? There'll be other people in there. There might be an idiot or two in there. Okay, it's okay because, you know, we're all kind of like that, right? In some ways. But you'll see. You'll grow from that. Now, how do we apply this? How do we apply these tests to our relational world? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to take the risk of getting into some spiritual friendships. And the way that we do that here at Verve is they're called Verve groups. And they happen when you sign up. You sign up for 8 years. You're going to be 8 years. It's a commitment. And you're going to start to like dress like each other. And it'll be, you know, it'll be, no, man. So a Verve group is 6 to 16 people who for a little over 3 months, from the middle of September to the beginning, middle of December, get into a group together. And they help each other get to know who God is. When you walk into a Verve group, you're going to have a leader. I know all the leaders. I know all the apprentice leaders. There's not one flake in the bunch. They're good people. So you're going to see somebody who's a good person. There'll be other people there. Now, there might be an idiot or two. And remember, you're good at noticing idiots because you're kind of an idiot too, right? So you can get past that. It will petrify you. Just signing up is going to freak you out. You're going to be like shaken. You're going to have the shakes. And then you sign up. And then you're going to show up. It's like maybe first, second week in September. You're going to get in your car and you're going to go, what am I doing? This is insane. You're going to start your car and you're going to drive over there and you're going to go really slow. There's going to be a lot of people passing you. You'll get to this person's house. You'll get to the restaurant, wherever you're meeting. And you're going to be, you'll still be petrified. Put the car in park. You're going to get out of your car and you're going to walk in there and you're going to think, this is so dumb. And you're going to feel awkward. Here's the thing. This is the risk part of it. If it's weak, don't go back. If you sit down and it's weak sauce, you don't have to stay. Just leave. What you're going to find is you're going to find something good for your heart. Here's what it looks like on the computer. So you're going to get on your computer, you'll get on your phone. You can either go to the website or the app, or you can just sign up at verve.group. And you're going to have all these groups to pick from. It's super cool. See this blueprint one? That's about studying the life of Jesus to live the way that he did. That might be perfect for you. Happens on Wednesday nights. It's a men's group. That might be perfect for you. You figure out what time. You figure out what's good for your life, what subject matter you want to study. See couples exploring faith. It's a couples group. You can be married or you don't have to be. You could be like dating and stuff. But you find out, well, how can this work in my relationship? How can I learn about faith in my relationship? It's another great opportunity. See this one right here? The group for guys who don't like groups. For some of you, man, so these dudes get together, have a Bible study at some restaurant where there's a happy hour. So it's good, cheap food, and it's Bible study. Look at you. You could be in a Bible study. Who would ever have thought? You could be in relationships that are sharpening you. Do you see how valuable this could be if you just will take the risk? And I know it's petrifying. I've been there too. It's scary. But if you take the risk, it'll matter. 15 years ago, I was walking in a mall in Indianapolis, and I got a phone call. I was alone. I got a phone call, and the woman's name was Cheryl. I will never forget. And she says to me, congratulations. It was like one of those cold calls, you know? I was about to hang up. She said, congratulations, Anthony. You're Anthony, right? And I said, yeah. She said, you've been chosen to give your dad a kidney. Now, I've been in this process with my siblings where we were going through all sorts of tests. And she said, you've been chosen, and I am going to help you schedule the surgery. There's going to be some meetings that will have to happen before the surgery, but let's get that date scheduled of when the surgery is. Can you do that right now? Well, at this point, I'm not walking around the mall anymore. I am sitting down in the mall. Got my phone out. I'm trying to figure out like what's going to work calendar-wise and that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking about my schedule, thinking about my kids. I'm thinking about sports. I'm thinking about, you know, I'm like 6 months away. I'm trying to figure out what's the best time to have this surgery. And then it just dawns on me, and I asked this question. I said, Cheryl, how's my dad going to feel when he gets my kidney? And she didn't bat an eye. She said, oh, Tony, you can't even imagine. His whole life is going to change as soon as his blood touches your kidney. Overall health is going to go dramatically better. His blood, the quality of his blood, the quality of the body function, he is going to be a whole different guy. So then I changed the line of questioning from my schedule to their schedule. I said, well, what's the soonest we could do it? She said, how about next month? So at that point, I'm like dizzy. Like, I can't believe we're doing this. So we scheduled a thing. I went home. I told Lisa about it. Fast forward, the morning comes. The surgery happens. And it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like foggy. And I remember waking up and seeing this nurse above me. And she was a mean woman. She had this big smile, you know. And I couldn't even really speak. I was, you know, just kind of. And then I felt her, she said, we got to get you up. And she grabbed my legs and she put them over the side of the bed. And I am like, whoa. She put my hand on the tree that the, you know, the IV or whatever was in. And then she got underneath my other arm. And she lifted me off the bed. I wanted to punch her in the neck. So then she goes, all right, we're going to walk. We're going to go down the hallway. So I am shuffling. It's killing me right here. And I'm shuffling. We get down to the end of the hallway. And I've got, you know, the smock thing. I can feel wind rushing behind me. And she goes, you're doing so good. I thought we're going to turn around. We're going to go back. I'm going to get some morphine or something. But incidentally, there's no pain medication. There's nothing. They get you going and they get you out of there. So instead of going back to the room, she turns me down the other hallway, and now I'm shuffling down this other hallway. We get about halfway to the hallway, and I hear this laughter. I hear this noisy room at the end of the hallway, and I'm shuffling towards it, and I start to hear my family and their voices and their laughter. I hear my sisters, you know, I hear my mom. I hear my brother, my wife was in there, and I get closer to the room and I hear my dad. My dad was telling a story, and the lady, the nurse knew, she knew what she was doing. She sort of kind of guided me, pushed me into the room, but she didn't come with me. And I turned the corner and I saw my dad, and his face was totally different. He had color. It was like his cheeks were rosy. His eyes were clear. I haven't seen that in months at this point. His eyes are clear and his smile was huge. Cheryl was right. He was totally different. And I remember I'm hunching over and looking at him, and I just couldn't get over how great he looked. He was totally different. Listen, when your life intersects another person's life, these spiritual friendships, you will be totally different. You'll be totally different. There might be an idiot here or there, but you're going to be in a spot where you're in a position. You've positioned yourself because you took the risk. You were scared about it, but you took the risk. You positioned yourself to hear God's messages to you. You position yourself to have somebody, some people walk with you through life, take challenges with you, move ahead. Again, I know some of you, this is new. But I'm telling you, man, even if you're brand new, get into one of these groups. You'll see. You'll get done with that first group, you'll get back in your car, and you will think, I am so glad I did that. I am so glad I took that risk. I can't guarantee that it's going to be great. But the thing I can guarantee, because it's not me, the thing I can guarantee is that when God says we're better together, he's right. So would you take the step? A lot of you are in a Verve group. A lot of you are, but a lot of you aren't. What if you just got on your phone? What if you just got on your computer and just take a look at the things? Okay? Click one or two of them, read about them, see what they're all about. You're going to be freaked out. You're going to be scared. But what if you take the step? What if you take the risk? Why not? What else are you doing? You Redboxing it? You know, you Netflix? Is it? Come on, man. You run out of stuff. Take a shot and see what the quality of your life, see what happens to the quality of your life. Let's pray. Father, thanks for how good you are to us. That you set us up, you wired us up to want these kinds of relationships. We're made for community. God, some of us, we wrestle with masks. You know, people pleasing, and we are on a treadmill. God, help us to put ourselves in position to be sharpened by friendships, community, biblical community. And God, we'll just trust you for the outcome. I pray that people in this room right now will take that step. Sign up. Give it a shot. And see what happens. It's in your Son's awesome name that we pray. Amen.